better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in this morning. Listen, if you've been listening to us for the past few weeks now, we've been telling you about this Branson Christmas trip giveaway. And Tommy, I got to tell you, the more I read about this, the more it's going to be a fantastic trip and a fantastic giveaway that people have to take advantage of and getting registered.
Yes, I mean, for any family, with young kids, teenage kids, empty nesters, no kids. Branson at the holidays, I think, is at its best. I know summertime's great and the lakes up there and everything to do in the summertime and Silver Dollar City, and you can keep going. Fritz's Adventure, keep going on and on. All those are awesome. But I'll tell you, the Christmas lights and this time of the year in Branson, it's pretty special. So it's a great weekend getaway. It's a great weekday getaway if you're, you know, when your kids are getting out of school for the holidays. And we're going to send you there for 3 nights at the Hilton downtown on the Landing. I think it's the best place in town to stay because you're right in the middle of everything down on the Landing. Great restaurants, great attractions for the whole family, Bass Pro Shops just right there. I mean, everything is kind of downtown for fun, food, and shopping and family. Then you can go see all the attractions. We got some of those, including the North Pole Adventure at Shepherd of the Hills. It's a drive-through Christmas light deal. I've done this with my family 2 or 3 years ago, and it's just really neat. You don't even have to get out of your car. You don't have to chase your kids. So that's awesome, Dad. Got the big Ferris wheel that they put up a few years ago. You can go get your ride on that. Some great restaurants going to feed you while you're there. So it's real easy. And it's 3 nights, 4 days, 3 nights in Branson. Won't cost you a thing. All you got to do is go to hitthatline.com and register. Name, email, and phone number. That's all we need. So go there. You can register once a day. Got to be 21 or over. We're going to pick a winner on December 10th. So you got now until the 10th to go to Branson. Stay at the Hilton downtown. A lot of other great stuff from hitthatline.com, the Morning Rush, and the Branson Convention and Visitors Bureau.
So basically, if you don't register, it's a you problem.
Yep. No, and you ought to register once a day.
Yeah. You get multiple chances. So it's on you.
You know, hey, dads out there, you register. Have your wife register. You know, and then, you know, everyone 21 or over in your house ought to register, and that way you got a better chance to win.
That's right.
Stuff the ballot box.
That's right, exactly. It's not cheating if you vote more than once a day.
It's not cheating if it's by the rules.
Exactly. It is incurred. So make sure that you, all of you, get involved on that and try to enter and get your chance to win a great trip up to Branson. If you want to call and get in on the conversation or text, Cherokee Casino Hotline is open, 877-377-6963. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Nelson is in Harrison. What's going on, Nelson?
Hey, guys. I just want to say, you know, yeah, it's okay to pump the brakes or whatever, but, I mean, these games that we've been playing in basketball, I mean, the last couple of games, we really haven't had the offensive performance that you would desire to have, but we're still up 10, 15 points. I mean, it's like, I mean, there was one time where we was like 6 points, you know, that it was even in doubt. So it's not like they're doing things wrong. Just the offense sometimes just ain't there. But their defense never stops. And I think that's a sign of a good team. You know, whenever you're sitting there and you, like you guys are saying, if it don't work, you just stick with it, stick with it, stick with it. You don't start fidgeting. You don't start trying to change stuff. I mean, I'd rather have the steady hand than have somebody over there freaking out, being like, what do we need to change? What do we need to change, you know? And just stay with the defense, and the offense will come to you. And a lot of times the defensive end will generate the offense if you get going right. So I don't think we'll have, you know, I don't think it's a problem. A lot of people are like, well, this is just small teams. I think we're playing decent teams. I don't think they're just garbage teams. So, with that being said, I just wanted to lay that out there, and I did like the technical. I mean, it's one of those deals where that probably didn't matter much, but the team was kind of in the lull, so you just
they were up 30.
Go ahead and throw it out there. Well, yeah, but you know,
they were up 30 with 8.5 to go.
I know, but you know what I mean? The game was kind of, it was just kind of going. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you got to stand up for, like, he's got guards that are going in there. They're busting their hump. They're getting rebounds. They're doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be, you don't want to be, let's see, officiating dictate the game. You want to keep your guys in the game. And I have one more thing.
They're up 30.
This is one thing that I want to know. Maybe you guys know something that has come about or whatever. But why did Mason Jones not get any time in the second half? Do you know anything about that? Or I mean, Mason Jones has been the leader of the team. He's been the one that really Isaiah Jones is a shooter, but Jones has been the animate one. You know what I mean? And he didn't even see the floor in the second half. Was there something going on there, or do you know?
Well,
and I'll hang up with him.
Well, appreciate your phone call, Nelson, as always, man. As far as to some of your comments about the offense and defense, I think that the defense can always turn into good offense, and as long as they can keep that up, they're always going to be in the games. Because I always try to compare it. Listen, in football, for instance, like in the year 2014 when Arkansas had a great defense, they went 6-6, so it wasn't great. But they were always in the games because of their defense. Even against teams they probably had no business being in against. Because of their defense, they were always in the games. And I could see that happening again this year, Tommy, with Arkansas's defense in basketball, where they may not win all their games. And I'm sure they're going to go up against much more talented teams that they're probably going to lose, but they're never going to be out of the games. They're never going to be getting smoked by 20 on the road as long as they can keep up this great defensive performance.
Yeah. As far as Mason Jones, he played 14 and a half minutes. 14:33 is what the halftime box score says. So that's how much he played in the first half. And for the game, he played 20:53. So, you know, almost 7 minutes of the second half. So he played half as much in the second half as he did the first. I didn't listen to all of it. I listened to most of Eric Musselman's post-game press conference on hitthatline.com coming in this morning. I don't remember him addressing that. If I missed it, I missed it. But he did play about 7 minutes in the second half. So
yeah, I didn't see really any indication or anybody ask him about
sure he's asked about it.
Yeah, I don't think he was, because I watched it too and I listened to the post game and it doesn't seem like it was addressed. But I don't think that he was injured. At least there was no word of that. Maybe it's a load management type deal. I don't know.
He was 2-for-4 shooting for the game, and 0-for-2 because nobody made a 3-point basket other than Isaiah Joe. So let me go back to this halftime box. He just wasn't taking a lot of shots either. Maybe that was part of it.
Yeah.
You know, first half, let's see, Mason Jones was 2-for-4. So, yeah, he didn't shoot in the second half.
Yeah. Not totally sure about that, but maybe it'll be addressed here. And maybe, hopefully, it's nothing as far as injury related or anything like that, because you're going to need Mason Jones. Yeah. That's for sure.
He did not take a shot in the second half. And, he played 20 minutes. I like these new box scores that are really precise. 20 minutes, 53 seconds of that 14:33 was in the first half. So
yeah, so now it all makes sense that as far as why or the minutes that he played in the first half, but I'm sure there was a legitimate reason why he didn't play in the second half.
And I don't know. Now, this doesn't make a lot of sense, but you know, when you're but think about this for a second. When you got Reggie Chaney in the lineup and you've been playing four guards and Adriel Bailey, and now if you play Bailey and Chaney at the same – I mean, one of these guards are going to get less playing time. Now, it doesn't make sense why it'd be Mason Jones when he's been one of your leading scorers in virtually every game. But, you know, again, they were up 30 in the second half most of the way. The game was not in doubt. I know you want to keep playing hard and all of that. So, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into why Mason Jones didn't play more minutes in the second half. But one of the reasons – they didn't need to, but – with Chaney back in, that's going to change things. He didn't start last night, but he did play about 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah, so. and if he can continue to just be that guy that comes in off the bench, because I don't know if he'll start any point this season, maybe depending on who they play, but if he can just come in and be that guy that gets 8 points, you know, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks, something like that, you know, that's exactly what they need out of him.
He got 6 points last night in 19 minutes and 19 seconds of playing time, took 4 shots, made 3 of them, 0-for-1 at the free throw line last night. So, more importantly, you need Reggie Chaney to get some rebounds. He got 2 of those last night.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you just need him to do. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. I'm really disappointed that we kept them. We didn't keep them below 50. I know that's not going to last forever, but it's nice to have that. You know, it's a little thing going on. It's 51. That's pretty close. Uh-huh. But it's just we turned that team over 24 times, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's been a while since we turned the team over 24 times. Even when Nolan was here, you know, that's pretty good. Face it, guys. This coach knows what he's doing. He's getting us to play defense, and the future is very bright. Of the five players in Arkansas, the big-time players, how many have committed to the Razorbacks?
Doc, ask that question again.
Two, right?
Of the five big-time players, how many have committed to the Hawks?
Well, one of them is committed and signed, as we mentioned, with Devontae Davis, and the other one's Moses Moody, who has committed. So just two at this point.
So there's still two out there?
Chris Moore's committed to Auburn.
Yeah, so. Chris Moore's committed to Auburn. So, yeah, there's two more out there. There's Jalen Williams and there's K.K. Robinson.
Okay. So, say, for instance, we get those two and then the one that got away. What if he starts looking around and saying, well, maybe I'll just join the posse? You know, I'm just thinking positive here, guys. Just before I get off here, Luke Fickell, I looked up his record. He was 11-2 last year, and they're 9-1 this year, and he's under 40. So I would think they're looking at him. I don't know if he's their choice, but anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
Appreciate it as always, Danny. I mean, as far as the kids that are trying to come to Arkansas or that you're wanting to come to Arkansas, you never know. I mean, listen, no, until they sign on that dotted line with their national letter of intent, you never know really what's going to happen. I mean, it could go a lot of different directions, and all we know is that Devontae Davis has signed, Moses Moody has committed, and the rest of the guys, until they sign, it's still all up in the air. But we'll know more about Jalen Williams and his decision this weekend, though.
Yeah, and this early signing period, once it's over, they can't sign again until April, I believe. I heard Nikki Chauvinel on Halftime laying this out. So that's the other, and a lot of, you know, makes me a little nervous, is that, you know, that they're not signing early. But I get it. But, you know, April's a long ways off, too.
So. That's right. That's right. Don't worry about it until you need to worry about it, is how I always look at it. Because anything in recruiting can always change. That's for sure.
That's the millennial way. Don't worry about it until you need to worry about
that's
it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Don't cry over spilled milk if it hasn't spilled yet. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
So. Hey, if you're worried about your tires right now, this time of the year can be hectic. A lot of places to do, or a lot of places to go, a lot of things to do right now. Southern Tire Mart can help get you there and get you there safely and save you money on America's most trusted tire brands like Michelin and B.F. Goodrich. Take advantage of Southern Tire Mart's $29.95 oil change, which includes a thorough 27-point vehicle inspection. You can see it all at Southern Tire Mart, I-540 exit 14 in the River Valley for quality Michelin and B.F. Goodrich tires and the best in-class service. You'll find Michelin, B.F. Goodrich, all at Southern Tire Mart.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Matthew is in Orlando. What's going on, Matthew?
Hey, guys. First-time caller, and I have a beef.
All right.
This morning with anybody who doesn't want Mike Leach as the next head coach at the University of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little research, and this is why. So, Mike Leach has coached for 17 seasons, and 15 of those, he's been bowl eligible. And the only two seasons he wasn't bowl eligible were in 2 of his first 3 years at Washington State. He went 3-9. In 12 seasons, he has over 8 wins. So, he's coached 17 seasons, he's been bowl eligible 15 seasons, and in 12 seasons, he's been over 8 wins. So Washington State, the 5 years before Mike Leach got there, they won 5-2, 1-2, and 4. So who does that sound like right now?
Close to what Arkansas's been, yeah.
Yeah, 5-2, 1-2, and 4. So like I said, in his first 3 years, he went 3-6, and they won 3-6 and then 3. And then after that, he lost 9-8, 9-11. And I know he's struggling this year, but he basically doesn't have a defensive coordinator this year. I mean, the defense is horrible, and that's one thing. If we do get him, then we need to bring in a good defensive coordinator with him. So I did a little research on Texas Tech's history. In 22 seasons before Mike Leach got to Texas Tech, they won 8 games twice. Under 10 seasons under Mike Leach, they won eight games eight times 8 years in a row. The only 2 years that would it, they didn't win eight games was 2000, 2001. They won seven games. So, I mean, Mike Leach goes to bowl games. Like, that's what Mike Leach does. And I hear a lot of people talking about Mike Norvell, but Mike Norvell just screams Chad Lewis at me. I mean, they're both young coaches. They both coach in the AAC. They're both the first. I think Memphis is Norvell's first head coaching job, isn't it?
Correct. Yes.
Right. And how much did Fuentes build that program? Yeah.
What's that?
And how much did Fuentes build that program
exactly.
before
exactly.
he got there?
Memphis won 10 games and 9 games the 2 years before Norvell got there. So maybe he's a great coach, but he hasn't proven that he can rebuild a program, and that's what we need. And like I say, maybe Norvell or Kiffin or this guy from Cincinnati, I think Matt Campbell's a decent candidate too, but we're not in a position to take chances right now. We have to get this right. And Mike Leach is the obvious candidate who has proven over and over again that he can rebuild a program, which is what Arkansas needs, and then he can keep them at 8 to 9 wins, which is what Mike Leach does. And I just don't understand people who can't see that Mike Leach is a clear, obvious job or obvious coach for this job. So,
well, let me tell you why I agree with you. And I think Mike Leach is the best Power 5 candidate Arkansas can go after. And you've laid it out there. He's built two programs from nothing. Texas Tech was, you know, an old Southwest Conference school that everybody here is familiar with. Took them from not winning a lot of games to, as you went through the record there, getting to a lot of bowl games. Same thing at Washington. This program needs someone that is not afraid and knows how to take a program from nothing and build it into something. Mike Leach has a track record and proven track record of doing that at the Power 5 level. That's what you need is a coach that has done that before and done it more than once and can come into the toughest league and the toughest division in America and do it again.
Exactly. And maybe Norvell is the next great coach, and maybe Kiffin is the next great coach, but maybe Norvell is going to go 3 or 4 years and then get fired. I mean, we just don't know, and we're not in a position to take a chance right here. We have to get this right, and Mike Leach is the guy to do it. But before I go, I have a question for you, Tommy. I'm a new basketball official down here. I have my first game on December 6th. Do you have any advice for me?
Oh, man.
Don't be late.
Don't be late.
And here, game, let me give you a good one. Let me give you one that I was told a lot. If you don't know, don't blow. So
deal.
Take that one with you. Is this your first year to officiate?
First year officiating.
All right. Well, good luck out there. So don't listen to them. Don't listen to him.
I've
You'll
gone
make
to all
it.
The classes. I've read the book, so I'll be okay, yeah. right?
If it was only that easy.
All right, I appreciate you taking the call.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, Matthew. Man, God bless you for going out and wanting to be an official these days.
We need people. I'm telling you, it's getting scary how the average age keeps creeping up.
Yeah.
Need people like him stepping up.
Yeah.
You know, across the country. It's bad here in Arkansas now, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We're not that many years away, particularly in football, for him to play a lot of games on alternate nights just to cover them.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen a real game played without officials.
I haven't either. At least one that counts.
They call it recess. They don't have officials.
Yeah, they call it a pickup game if that's the case. Call your own fouls in that regard.
Back to the point of his call, though, is I like Mike Leach, and he's been my kind of – If you could just pick a guy that's realistic, I mean, I'll take Nick Saban. Well, okay, let's get realistic. I think Mike Leach is a realistic candidate, and I think he laid out is Matthew, right?
That's right.
I think Matt laid out all the points perfectly there. But the thing I like is what I said a moment ago, John. He's built something from nothing twice. You know, he took Texas Tech and rebuilt that into a powerhouse and had a great coaching staff there. He's done it again at Washington State. So that's why I like this guy. I know he could take this program from where it's just struggling to win more than two games right now. I mean, it looks like we're facing back-to-back two, maybe a third win this year. You get to 3 wins versus 2. Well, whoop-de-doo, you know. So you've won 5 games in 2 years. That's a daunting task to rebuild from in this league. I think he knows how to do it.
Yeah. Well, and another thing I want to make a point about Mike Leach is that, you know, and just this coaching hire in general, you don't have to hire somebody that is immediately going to be your long-term option that's going to get you back to the promised land, as great as that would be, as great as that would be, and I think everyone's hopeful for that. But honestly, a Mike Leach type of hire would be perfect to just get Arkansas relevant and competitive again. And then if he only stays 5 or 6 years, he only stays 5 or 6 years as long as you get back to that point. And then once that 5 or 6 year point is over and you're back to being at least a program that's respectable, then you can go for the next coaching hire and go for somebody else that maybe you can take a little more risk on. But to me, a guy like Mike Leach is as close to a surefire thing when it comes to what you know what you're going to get. You know that if he's going to come into Arkansas, if he gets the job, you're going to be at least a team that's consistently going to bowl games, getting 6 or 7, 8, 9 wins, maybe a few occasions he'll get to that 11-win mark. You know what you're getting. So to me, that's more important than just trying to dig you out of this hole and get you competitive again. Will he win a national championship? Probably not. Will he go to the SEC championship? Probably not. But at least you'll be a team and a program that's competitive in this conference, which you have not been in quite some time.
Can you average 3.5? I mean, nobody likes to hear this, but can you average about 4 wins in SEC play? I don't think people realize how hard it is to just win 4 SEC games.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know, if you win 4, you're probably going to be at least a 7-win football team, maybe 8, depending on who all your non-conference opponents are that year. You know, Bielema had 1 year he won 5, but still only won, 8 that year? But he won 5 in league play.
That's right.
And he lost to Toledo and
Texas
Tech. Yeah, it was right, Texas Tech that year at home. So, I mean, you know, that was really the best to Bielema, win 5 SEC games. That's not easy for a program like Arkansas.
No.
And people don't want to hear, well, you're settling for mediocrity. Well, no, I'm just dealing with reality. You know? Today, it's no different than Ole Miss or Mississippi State. It's tough for them to win 5 games. And then we're trying to figure out how to win 7 or 8 to win the division?
Yeah, you don't understand just how difficult it truly is.
The difference between 4 wins and 6 in this league is just massive.
Yes, absolutely.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
By the way, Tommy Tyler and Greenwood texted into the Cherokee Casino Hotline and wants us to do an uncensored version of the Morning Rush. So apparently it's in high demand.
Well, or at least by one.
By one person.
What does Chris from Greenwood mean by Ty couldn't listen? Is he not allowed to hear salty language?
Probably so. Probably so.
Virgin ears.
Yeah, so. Yeah, can't have that.
And body.
Yeah. Oh, we don't need to get into that. Good grief. Let's go ahead and get into a What's Your Beef Wednesday. And by the way, folks, if you want to get in on your beefs, go ahead and text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. We'll get those read out. We'll let everybody know exactly what they're beefing with, because we've had some good ones here in the past. But let's go and get into our What's Your Beef Wednesday on What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Smooth.
Yeah, very smooth.
I need to turn on
the Adobe.
Adobe.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
Now the other one.
Very smooth.
This is working. This
all
is
all around.
Not
smooth.
The one that's labeled Adobe, but the one
to the left.
Yeah. The left of it is
there. We go. Okay, let's try this again. My goodness, we really had a smooth transition here.
Are we on the air?
We're. I tell you what, Maddie. Here's what you got to do too. You got to put those two in program at the top.
Yeah. Radio 101.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. All right. Are we good here? Yes, we're good. Okay. My goodness.
I want to complain. I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Yeah, my beef is this operation in general. Can't even get the... our bed going right.
I leave for one day and come to Boone County to do the show here at Harrison this morning. It just falls apart.
Yeah,
just falls apart.
See, that's what happens, Tommy. When you're our Bobby Petrino. Once you're not here, everything starts falling apart. But that's okay. since it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday, it makes sense. It's only fitting that we have it start this way. So, anyways, we got the music bed playing and we're on the air. So let's go ahead and jump into it. I'll start it off with my beef. Now, in case you haven't been able to listen to today or the past couple of days, you'll probably realize that I have not been feeling well. I have been battling illness, and I have had to take all sorts of medicines and herbal teas, everything that I can possibly find to try to get over this crap that I'm going through. And I feel like I'm on near the end of it, and I'm hopefully
cycling through it,
and hopefully by the end of this week, and hopefully tomorrow, I will be completely and totally over it, but it just happened. So I hate being sick. It's really unfortunate to be sick, especially when you talk for a living. It makes it even more difficult, but I'm still trying to find ways to battle through it. Well, anyways, I, of course, always when people text me or say, hey, man, you're not feeling well. When I went on the show the other day, people were saying, hey, what happened? Said I'm not feeling well. I'm just kind of battling sickness and all that. I hate the fact that if you tell certain people that you're not feeling well, they immediately become doctors. And then what I mean by that is that they will tell you what medicines or what things you need to take.
Yeah.
And then somebody asks, or they'll do this. They'll ask you, so what are you taking for it? I say, well, you know, I got me some DayQuil, taking some NyQuil and stuff.
Oh, No.
That's bad. That's bad stuff. That does not help. You need to go online and order this stuff that's only available in Thailand. Yeah. And order it, and it's $58, but it works.
It's herbal.
Yeah, and it's herbal. And I'm like, okay, I could just stick to DayQuil because
I just go down to the Walgreens.
Exactly.
Here and get something over the counter.
It's over here that it's easy access. I can look like a complete and total mess and like a bum as I walk in, and they can just hand me my DayQuil, my NyQuil, and I'll be good to go. So, but it's that, and it's like they always come up with new and innovative things. It's like, why don't you just let me do what I do all the time, which seems to be okay for me. I'm not to say that, you know, drinking elderberry juice won't be able to make me, like, get healed up. I'm sure it's very well, in which I actually have drank some elderberry juice. But
there is something called elderberry. I thought you were just making that term up.
No, there's actually something called elderberry. And again, it goes back into all these holistic things that are going on. And I'm just like, let me do me. Let me.
I thought you were one with nature.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, do I not sound like I'm one with nature? Am I not one of the man of the people, man of the land?
Right.
That's what I try to do. So, anyways, my beef is with all
Ricky Williams.
Exactly. But so part of my beef is just those who always come at me and say that to play doctor, tell me what I need to take, what I need to do, when I need to do it, and if I do it my way, it's not good enough. So that's who I'm beefing with today.
I thought my suggestion to you and Ty both last week. Ty was battling it, so I thought my prescription was probably the best one of all.
A bottle of whiskey?
Whiskey with some lemon and some honey, you know, a hottie toddy.
Yeah, but see, to me,
that'll break up the crud.
And see, and it goes back to where it's like I've been reading about this stuff, but apparently alcohol is like the worst thing you can do for certain things. So, yeah, it's like,
you just don't care. That's,
I guess so, but
you won't feel it at least.
Yeah, but it's like, so if that's the case, why don't doctors prescribe you whiskey?
They did 150 years ago.
Well, that was 150 years ago, Tommy. That, you know, they also used to do lobotomy. I mean, like, things have changed.
Just cut off whatever.
So you had one of them
too,
huh?
Yeah, I might have at this point. Yeah, might have. But it's like, you know, things change. So, again, I'm not feeling well. I'm still battling through it. I got it taken care of, though, folks. Don't worry. Don't come texting me. And I know that people are texting into the line saying, hey, you need to do this. No. Yeah. I'm sticking with DayQuil, sticking with NyQuil, and I'll feel better hopefully by the end of the week. So that's what I'm beefing with today, Tom.
All right. I'm beefing with the College Football Playoff Committee. And listen, we don't have a dog in the hunt. We ain't had a dog near the hunt in 10 years, right? Seems like it. Mm-hmm. Feels that way. 2011, I guess, the last time we had to worry about it. But it does feel like you're trying to hit a moving target with this. Every year, the qualifications, the parameters, do they not feel different to you, John, year in and year out?
Yeah.
Like, this committee is doing something different than last. There's no precedent. There's no criteria. There's no consistent direction. And one thing I'm pointing to here from last night's, of course, if you didn't hear, the top four, LSU is no surprise, Ohio State 2, Clemson, and then Georgia has moved into the four spot ahead of Alabama,
correct,
then Oregon, Utah, and then here's where it gets a little funky to me. Penn State's at 8, Oklahoma 9, Minnesota's at 10. And you said, what's the big deal there? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Minnesota just beat Penn State?
They did.
Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So how can both teams with the same record of 9-1, Penn State's 9-1, Minnesota's 9-1, how can they be 8 for Penn State and 10 for Minnesota?
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It seems like year to year and sometimes week to week, this committee's criteria, and I guess the only one that really matters is at the end. I'm not sure how much James Franklin or P.J. Fleck's paying attention to that. But does that seem right and equitable to you that shouldn't head-to-head with equal records in the same conference, I don't know, maybe be a factor?
I think so. I think that would be a fair assessment of how to decide it. Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems to me like if one team, if Team A beat Team B, Team A's better. I don't know. That just seems logical to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like this committee's always got a moving target that all these teams are trying to hit right now. And it does it really matter who's 8 or 10? I guess it does for the New Year's Day Six Bowls a little bit later on. It doesn't matter for the top four. But it's very interesting. We're down to 3 undefeateds. But I can't figure out what this committee values. I mean, because it seems like week to week it's something a little bit different. So that's my piece this morning.
That's fair.
How in the world can Minnesota be behind Penn State when they beat them? And they got the same records.
Yeah, and see, it seems like it's pretty common that that happens, where it's always like these questions, like you said, where it's like, how did you come to this conclusion?
Yeah.
Like, what did you see?
Did it not dawn on you that Minnesota beat Penn State?
Yeah, it's like, what did you see?
No one bring that up?
And again, this, I know we could spend the whole show on it, but this, again, goes back to why I feel like the playoff needs to be expanded to where conference championships are automatic qualifiers, so that way you don't have to worry about stuff like this.
Yep. I've been on that train for 12 or more, since before there was, when is the BCS? If you just made it conference champions in the Power 5 and then 3 at large, but they don't want that because the committee likes to have a group of powerful people. That's why they took it out of the hands of the voters, which the BCS system worked. People can gripe about it. It worked. You know, all you need to do is expand that. That's all you had to do.
Oh, I know, but that's, you know.
But they needed people like Jeff Long that they could fuel their egos and have more power. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to take it out of the hands of the writers, and some elite group have the power.
Yeah, because, you know, in all other sports and all other leagues across the world, no matter what it is, you just have a group of people deciding who the best teams are instead of having a playoff system that determines it on the field or on the court or whatever.
You do that in basketball to a degree because you have, I guess, 68 teams now with the play-in game, but conference champions get an automatic pick.
Exactly.
There's a way for you to take it out of the hands of the committee. Just win your conference tournament.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you do it. And then there's enough at large. To me, the margin of error is so thin because you're only looking for 4 teams.
Yeah.
That's why, it's the most powerful committee in all of sports.
Yeah. Right.
So, I can't seem to figure out what they value other than being undefeated. Which sometimes I think is overranked, but not in this case because I think the teams at the top have played good schedules from Power 5 conferences. But, you know, Clemson's maybe the most suspect of those 3 unbeatens. But seems like we're on a collision course for LSU and Ohio State. And Georgia right now chief amongst the one-loss teams.
Mm-hmm. And Alabama's sitting at 5, which means...
Well, without Tua, are they really 5th? That was another thing.
They put them at 5, and they know Tua's gone.
But should they be?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. It's just... It doesn't matter till the end of the day, and at the end of the season, those are going to be the numbers that matter the most on who the 4 teams are going to be there. So, but no, that's a legitimate beef, no doubt about it. All right, Maddie, you got a beef as well?
Well, yes, it is What's Your Beef Wednesday, and we were discussing the origins of the phrase What's Your Beef earlier. Remember there was a restaurant years ago that used to use What's Your Beef as their tagline.
Wendy's.
Yeah.
Where's the beef?
It was actually, where's the beef? Was it Wendy's or Burger King?
The beef was Wendy's. Yeah.
Okay. Where's the beef is the old lady that came in. Where's the beef?
That's right.
Well, speaking of beef, a man is suing Burger King because the meatless Impossible Whopper is cooked on the same grill as meat products, the lawsuit alleges. The class action lawsuit filed Monday in the Southern District of Florida claims that although the burger chain advertises its vegan option as meat-free, it's contaminated by meat byproduct because it's cooked on the same grill as meat products. And this is, my beef is the jackasses that it's so litigious. And you're going to a place that is known for cooking hamburgers, and you're surprised when a little bit of meat gets on your vegan burger. So that's my beef. We're talking about a hamburger restaurant, and you want to sue if there's contaminations of meat.
I will never understand why people who, first off, if you want to go for something like a meatless burger or something, Why are you going to Burger King?
Right.
Like, if you're that, like dead set on having that lifestyle,
you're still supporting the evil meat eaters.
I'm about to say, yeah. So it's like, it to me, and just like so many things in this instance, just screams to somebody that wants attention, that wants, you know, some sort of reward for doing it. It's kind of like, what was it, 20 years ago when the person from McDonald's spilled the hot coffee? Yeah.
In all fairness, though, it was really, really hot. And yes, third degree burn.
It was really hot. It was really hot, but at the same time, it's coffee. You know, it's like it's going to be hot. You know, it's the same thing.
No one's ever ordered a lukewarm coffee.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I mean, you've never seen somebody order an iced coffee.
Yeah, well,
that's a whole different category.
That's a whole different thing. But no, the thing with the burger, though, is like, you really think they're going to have two separate grills?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on now.
I thought they were flame broiled.
Are they not?
That's how they
have it your way.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I mean, I see the smoke coming out of it at the restaurants. I guess that's what that means.
I do like that the king of burgers has declined to comment to all the media outlets, which I'm glad, because it is so stupid. They should just...
Yeah, they should.
You know, we've been searching for a punishment, I guess. Not really a prize, a punishment for who loses the Vince Man Friday football picks.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be the punishment. You got to go eat one of these meatless burgers. Because I can tell you, I'm not thrilled about even the idea of...
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a meatless burger just to me is something that I do not desire to do at all.
It shouldn't be called a burger. You know how I know that this meatless stuff doesn't work? Because I've bought some of the meatless nuggets and stuff. Even my dog won't eat them. She knows.
all the nuggets were meatless anyway.
So. Well, right, yeah, it's well. It's
true. True.
But even she's like, what are you doing?
Not doing that.
She's smart enough to do
that. Well, that may be a good way to do it, Tommy. Yeah. And have no condiments on it or anything. Just like the straight up bun and patty of the meatless burger.
And you have to keep a smile on your face.
Yeah. That may be the biggest obstacle to go over. Yeah. So, but no, that's a good one. That is a What's Your Beef Wednesday here on the Morning Rush, brought to you by OG&E.
Yes, you're home in Arkansas, at least 10 years old and served by OG&E. They're offering customers a free weatherization program to increase your comfort and lower your bills. They have trained crews that will come do an energy audit at your home. Doesn't cost you anything. And if your home qualifies, they'll install measures like attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and a whole lot more. It's absolutely free. Call OG&E today to find out the details. 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program.
We have a few people texting in their beef. B.E. in Clarksville says, we are a week away from Thanksgiving, and I have already heard multiple Christmas carols and songs. We need to have an unwritten rule, like baseball, no seasonal music until Black Friday.
You know,
When will we start seasonal music, holiday music here on the show?
After Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, I think
it's fair. I think it's way after that. I mean,
even
like,
a
really?
Week or so after.
So, like, what are you thinking that needs to happen?
December 10th?
So,
is that too late?
I think so. I think that if it's like if it's the next big holiday, then it's okay. It's kind of like Halloween. You can decorate and everything for Halloween the whole month of October, even though it's like October 1st, you can start putting up all your stuff for Halloween and it'll be fitting.
Yeah.
But for Christmas, I mean, my goodness, I don't know if you want.
Well, it's three full weeks of Christmas music.
I don't know. I love Christmas movies, though. It's like I watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles leading up to Thanksgiving, and then after Thanksgiving, you kick it into Home Alone, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
It's all movies.
Well, the movies are one thing, and I know that people talk about the music more than anything, but it's like the decorations are still ridiculous, too, because I knew somebody that put up a Christmas tree after Halloween, like immediately.
I've seen a lot of people posting about putting them up, but I saw a story on one of the local news stations about playing Christmas music too early, like, you know, for a whole month. It can trigger, like, you know, mental illness type problems, you know, depression and things like that.
What?
I don't know.
How?
I don't know. I guess you get stuck in it so long. I don't know. I've definitely been played out on the Christmas music.
I guess so. But, man, I guess that in these day and age, everything can happen to it. Let's see. Bradford and Van Buren says December 1st and not a second before is when he wants it to be played.
I get that.
Tyler and Greenwood text in says his beef is the fact that people legitimately think Bobby Petrino is a viable choice for the coaching job.
Amen. But that's a great beef.
I'm telling you, that, like, between him and Houston Nutt and, like, these people, like, there's people that out there that think that these coaches are actual options and they're going to try to push the narrative as much as they possibly can. Like, no, absolutely not. That would be embarrassing if you ever brought back Bobby Petrino. And it's like, what do you think you're going to get?
He would have to be the first coach in the 150-year history of college football to be a head coach at two schools twice, right?
He'd have to be.
He's already done it at Louisville. I mean, yeah. He can't put a staff together. He ain't coming here.
No, he's not. In fact, it's like he was at least left Louisville. He quit Louisville to go to a different job. He was fired from Arkansas.
Yeah. Because well, he was fired happened, the so. Last time at Louisville.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that's probably going to be the case. This comes from Tristan in Fayetteville. Says, my beef is Texas Southern scoring 51 points last night. Two less
now, points. Now we're getting greedy.
He says two less points and we have a new shot clock era record. And that's true. Could have had the record there. But what's that really going to get you, though? Is that going to get you into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I don't think that's an automatic qualifier.
No, I wouldn't think so either. Let's see. Zach tweets in and says his beef is with people telling other people where to donate their money. Money that was donated for high school Christian athletes. Well, I don't think. Well, it's your money, man. You spend it the way you want to spend it. You can give the money who you want to give with. So. But we had a few people also text in. We'll get to these as throughout the morning here on the Morning Rush. If you want to get on What's Your Beef Wednesday, you can call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963.
Hey, are you tired of your noisy neighbors looking to upgrade your apartment? If you're looking for a new place to call home, whether it's a duplex or townhome to live in, whether it's in Northwest Arkansas, Fort Smith, Hot Springs, Tulsa, Kansas City, Dallas, Little Rock, we keep going on and on and on. Trinity Multifamily is there to help you. They manage over 21,000 units in 15 different states, so they have a perfect place for you to call home no matter where you're at or no matter where you're listening this morning. 479-452-1817. That's 452-1817, or use the easy online search tool at trinitymultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
We're going to have your Arkansas update coming up next on the Morning Rush as well. And Matt Moscona of ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge, he'll be joining us at 8 o'clock this morning because we got to talk about this Arkansas-LSU game, Tommy, even though it's probably not going to go well for Arkansas. But I can't think of two other teams that are on two completely different ends of the spectrum as far as where their programs are at, especially in Power 5, than LSU and Arkansas.
I know we got to run to get to the update, but what would be going well, all right? Because I don't think – I mean, obviously winning, but – you know, odds of them winning this game are pretty slim. So what would be, short of winning, what would be going well? Hey, it went well Saturday.
I think that if you are entering the second half and you're still at least within striking distance of like two possessions, like something like that, just don't be it to where at halftime it's 56-3. You know, it's just something like that where you're at least showing some life, I think would be going well.
Hey, one thing I've thought of, you know, you've been sick, Ty's been sick, we've had three other people in the office not feel well. Do you think there's any concern at all about people in this football team battling illness right now? Maybe some of your key players? That hadn't really been brought up, but I just want everybody else, it seems like everybody else in the world, every office, every person I've talked to has had people out sick this week. What makes you think the football team isn't dealing with it, too?
Oh, I'm sure they are. Everybody's having to deal with it, and I'm sure they're having to take drastic measures. But it's happened before where they've had players end up being sick, and it's getting costing them. So it could definitely
happen. The last thing
you
need is KJ Jefferson and Treylon Burks and people like that can't go 100% or can't go at all because they got the flu or the crud or whatever.
Yeah. Drink your orange juice, man. That's all I got.
Wash your hands. Purell.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Arkansas and LSU in football this weekend. Of course, the kickoff will be at 6 p.m. down there in Baton Rouge. The LSU Tigers are undefeated and have won a lot of great games this year. I don't know if anybody's heard about them, but they are on a tear right now. And Arkansas is going to go down to Baton Rouge and try their hand. And to talk more about this game, let's welcome in Matt Moscona, friend of the show. He's the host of After Further Review, weekdays from 3 to 6 down there on ESPN Baton Rouge. Matt, as always, man, appreciate you joining us. How you doing?
What's up, fellas? Hey, John, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, man, and it's definitely an interesting time in Razorback football land where you have a coaching search going on where there's still some games to play. But I want to start with LSU with you. Obviously, we talked at SEC Media Days. We talked about this team and how it feels like there was a lot of good things going on. But I'll tell you this, Matt, LSU is a lot better of a team than I thought that they were going to be, and I fully admit it. And here we are sitting at 10-0. Looking at LSU, are you a little surprised by how good this team has looked, or did you see this coming?
A little surprised? John, I mean, anyone that says anything to the contrary is just a bold-faced liar. I picked them 10-2 I mean, I was, you know, high on this team, thinking they return a lot, the schedule's favorable. Nobody. I mean, literally, not even you slap Ed Ogeron on a lie detector, and not even he would think that this offense would be where they are. I mean, John, this is LSU. They're top five in the country in every statistical category. Total offense, scoring, passing, passing efficiency. Like, I mean, this is an offense that had been in the Stone Ages for a decade. I mean, and now they're leading the country. They're going to have a Heisman winner at quarterback. I mean, like, we could have foreseen them being better, right? I mean, the schedule lightened up. You know, you had the road game at Texas and the road game at Alabama, which everybody saw. But, you know, Florida and Auburn and A&M all come to Baton Rouge. Georgia rotated off. Vanderbilt rotated on. So, I mean, it was very logical to look at LSU and say, yeah, this is probably going to be a good team. You might be a 10-win regular season. You'll come up with a big win here or there. Could ruin a season for somebody. Go to a really nice bowl game again. But this, I mean, an offense that's going to shatter. I mean, do you realize that Joe Burrow is going to break the SEC single-season passing and touchdown passing marks? I mean, it's insane. I mean, so, no, I thought they'd be better. Nobody thought they'd be this.
So what's been the biggest difference? Is it just the quarterback play? Is it the fact of the coaching and Joe Brady being added in? I mean, what's been that difference and what's made this offense just go over the edge like this?
Yeah, so everyone points to Joe Brady because he's the variable, right? So same quarterback, same head coach, a lot of the same skill guys offensively. But then you bring in Joe Brady, who kind of, I guess, was a missing link. I think Steve Ensminger doesn't get enough credit for what he's been able to do as sort of the maestro of the whole thing. There's no doubt Brady brought in different concepts to this offense. But the biggest thing, too, and I get asked this a lot, you know, is Burrow's, you know, improvement in the stats is just a product of the offense. And I don't know how much y'all have seen him play, guys, but if you're a system quarterback, you don't get first-round draft pick, number one overall draft pick hype from scouts. That's Joe. The biggest development, the single biggest change has been Burrow's development. He is accurate. Yeah, he is phenomenal in the face of pressure. He has learned to move within the pocket to avoid pressure. I mean, he looks like a professional quarterback. And Joe, as a graduate, this semester, guys, he's just taken, like, I think, a couple of online courses. So essentially he's majoring in football this semester. And I think that's helped him tremendously as well. So, you know, Burrow's development has not been just a product of a system. It's been remarkable to watch him become a more accurate, more confident passer who knows how to avoid the rush in the pocket and just look very much like a pro. It's been fun to watch.
Let's talk a little bit about this game this weekend because, you know, we've had this discussion. We've known each other for a long time, Matt, and we always kind of laughed about the Arkansas-LSU game because it was always weird. It always seemed like that Arkansas caught LSU at the right time where they were coming off of an Alabama loss and Arkansas was getting a little better, and they always would best LSU in a lot of cases where they probably shouldn't have. I don't see that happening for this game this weekend because you talk about two teams that are on opposite sides of the spectrum where LSU's number one, got everything rolling, got a Heisman Trophy winner, looks like, with Joe Burrow. And then you have Arkansas, who doesn't have a head coach. They have an interim head coach in Barry Lunney. It's been horrible seasons back-to-back. I mean, this just seems like this game should be a fairly easy one for LSU going up against the Razorbacks.
Yep. The 46-point spread, did y'all see the stat? It's the biggest spread in an SEC game since 1978.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, guys, I've had the misfortune of watching a lot of Arkansas this year. I'm sure as you all have as well. This might be, and I don't know, this might be the worst SEC team I've ever seen, this Arkansas team. And maybe the capper was that whatever that fake punt thing was a few weeks back, that kind of cinched it for me. I don't think they have confidence. I don't think they have talent. They don't have a coach, obviously, now. It's a lot of people have brought up that I think the 2011 Ole Miss team, Houston Nutt's last team at Ole Miss, was absolutely abysmal, and they quit on him, and that was a dreadful year. This one feels a lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
I I mean, guys, I could sell you on, you know, maybe it's rallying the troops under, you know, Barry Lunny, and the guys get up and play hard, and maybe they do. There's just such a massive talent disparity right now between these two teams. And the other thing, too, you know, John, you're right, man, about how there's a lot of times where Arkansas did catch LSU, right? I used to tell, I got a lot of family in Arkansas, too. I tell them all the time, man, y'all don't want that day after Thanksgiving. Like, you want this game the week after Bama. That's when you're catching LSU vulnerable. But this is one of those spots where a week ago LSU went to Ole Miss, had a big lead at half, had a giant letdown in the second half, and Ole Miss ran wild on LSU in the second half. I don't know if anybody saw that. Probably didn't. But the players, like, all to a man, have talked about, like, how embarrassing that was. So I think you're going to get an LSU team that, with a win, clinches the West, keeps, you know, Joe Burrow, who's pushing toward a Heisman, and a defense that was embarrassed by the way they played in the second half and is going to be looking to make amends. Night game in Tiger Stadium. I don't know how this is in any way competitive. Maybe Arkansas does the thing, like, I don't know if y'all remember in 98 when Arkansas came to, I'm sorry, it was 99. You know, Arkansas came to Baton Rouge and, was it 98? No, it was 90.
You talking about the game where LSU was 0-7 in conference and they ended up beating Arkansas?
Yeah, I can't remember if it was 99.
It was 99.
It was 99. So Hal Hunter, Jerry DiNardo had gotten fired. Hal Hunter was the interim.
Mm-hmm.
He made a quarterback change, put Rohan Davey in, and LSU wanted to beat Arkansas. And wasn't that the Arkansas team? I thought that was the Arkansas team that had already won the West.
No, they had actually just come off of a big win against Tennessee, who was number 3 in the country. They had been the co-champion of the West in 98. But 99, they still were a really good team, though.
Yeah, 99 was a good team. 98 was the team that went to the SEC championship game. I remember 95 and 98 they went to the SEC championship, and then 06. That's right. I was getting my years confused. Yeah, maybe that's a possibility, right? Like maybe they rally and I play a really inspired game. That's just so hard to see that happening this weekend.
Yeah, it certainly would be. And here's the thing too, Matt, because I know we've talked about the Arkansas job and now that they're having to go through a coaching search this early part of the season, and you know, you hear some news about how Derek Mason's staying at Vanderbilt, so it doesn't look like there's gonna be a lot of SEC jobs open. What direction do you think Arkansas should go for the coaching search? We've had about a billion names texted into this show about who people want, who they should look at. But if you're just from an outsider's perspective, what do you think Arkansas should do, and what route do you think they should go with this coaching search?
So I'll answer, but can you tell, is there kind of a consensus on what Arkansas fans want?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe the closest one that at least we've seen that's a realistic option, because obviously everyone wants Urban Meyer, but an actual realistic option would probably be somebody like a Mike Leach. I think that would be probably the biggest percentage, but there's not just one guy that would unify the fan base at all.
See, I believe Mike Leach might take that job. Leach, I don't mind telling you, Leach inquired about LSU when Les got fired. He wanted that gig. Obviously LSU was going in a different direction, but and personality-wise, that might not fit. I think my feeling on the Arkansas job is, for me, it's one of the more perplexing, because while it's a state, this isn't anything you all don't know, but just from an outsider's perspective, it's a state that obviously doesn't have, like, elite high school talent, even though you're, the only, you know, Power 5 program in the state. Because you don't have this abundance of talent like Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, California, Texas, it's difficult because you got to go recruit nationally. But what's perplexing is, you know, Arkansas has so many resources. I mean, I think everybody knows about the Walmart money and the Tyson Chicken money and Jerry Jones and FedEx. And it's like the campus is beautiful. The facilities are beautiful. You know, I think Fayetteville is a beautiful town. Like, there's a lot to draw there. You know, if you had someone who was committed to recruiting, and if the program was willing to commit the budget to being an elite program, I think I would compare it as far as, like, job resources. This is going to sound crazy because this program has a much better history, but it's similar to Tennessee. And the fact that Tennessee fights a lot of that. They don't have a great in-state recruiting base. They got to recruit nationally, but they have a lot of resources. And when they've been good, they've been really good. But I think Arkansas will never get the type of consistently get the top 10 recruiting classes like a Georgia, Bama, LSU, you know, et cetera, to where you have to be a little gimmicky on offense to where you can win with three stars and four stars instead of five stars and four stars. So that, I think that's why Bobby Petrino worked so well there. And it's why if they got a Mike Leach, I think that could work. I don't know that Mike Leach would ever win a championship, but, you know, could in a cycle where he gets a lot of veteran players to stick around and you hit that year where you've got a, you know, 18 senior starters where Arkansas could do like they did in 2011, where they're sitting there in the final week playing LSU as a top five team in the country. Yeah, I think that's possible. I think Leach would be a great option at Arkansas. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but that makes a lot of sense.
No, to me, he would be the safest bet as far as a surefire thing. I don't think he'd come in and win a national championship. I don't think anybody would expect him to, but Arkansas has just been so non-competitive for the past three seasons that he would at least elevate that into making them a respectable and competitive program once again. I mean, you're talking about Arkansas, just they were hoping to get to a bowl game this year. I mean, that was just their expectation, and they're so far from it that getting a guy like Mike Leach, it would be a splash. You'd get people talking about it, and I think it would be good for a lot of recruits to say, hey, man, this guy's had a lot of success. Let's give him a shot. So it's kind of up in the air as far as what coaching search is going to behold, but I think that if they were able to get Mike Leach, it would be, as far as in Arkansas standards right now, a home run hire.
Yeah, I don't know how much time you'll have, guys, but one more thing. Like, I think as far as the coaching search, whoever Arkansas hires, I don't know if Chad Morris would have worked, but I think they did the program a general disservice by canning that guy a year and a half in. And look, I get it. It was a disaster. But when you're fundamentally transitioning what you are as a program, where Bielema was trying to create Arkansas, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, big offensive lineman, physical rushing attack, tight end, pro style, and you switch instantly to spread them out, chuck it around the yard, and you don't have the personnel, you've got to build your roster to that. And so Chad Morris was trying to rebuild the roster, man. It was ugly. And I'm not saying he would have turned it around, but I think if you keep hitting the reset button after a couple of years, you're never going to gain the traction that's required to win and win consistently. And I know that's not a fun process to go through. I think Texas is going through it right now with Tom Herman. But man, like, who, if it is a Mike Leach, like, you've got to be patient and let them build their thing and at least give them 4 years to have a roster that they recruited the entire roster and say, okay, now let's see what it looks like. And I mean, I get it. It's a win now society, but especially when you are fundamentally changing from what Bielema did to what Morris was trying to do, like, to expect instant results, I think was foolish.
Well, and I don't think that most fans expected instant results. I think it was more just about progress. I mean, they got smoked by Western Kentucky at home, man.
I watched it.
I mean, that was the issue, because we've said this many times on the show. If Arkansas and Chad Morris would have beaten San Jose State and Western Kentucky and still gone 0 in the SEC, he still would have gotten another year. But you were getting smoked by terrible teams at home. I mean, it just couldn't have it. So, there was a lot of things going on. And now we'll see what the results play out as far as the coaching search go. But, man, Matt Moscona, always appreciate you coming on with us, man. Great insight as always. Enjoy the game this weekend, man. We'll be catching up with you later down the road.
All right, John. All right, guys. See y'all.
All right, have a good one, man. And if all guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline, as well as if you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. Tommy, what'd you make of his comments there?
Well, I mean, I've been a Mike Leach supporter in this search from the get-go because, as we stated earlier in the show, here's a guy that took Texas Tech program, reestablished it, Washington State made it. He's a guy that, while he's quirky and he says interesting things during press conferences, he knows how to take programs that have to go from very few wins and get them to being competitive. He hadn't gotten to the college football playoff. He hadn't won a national title. He hadn't done a lot of things that you'd like to do in a Pac-12 school, but he's at least made you respectable. And that's the next step, is Arkansas's got to become respectable again. And I believe Mike Leach could be the right answer. And it wouldn't be a total shift from what Chad Morris has recruited, you know, half this roster to be at this point, you know, with all the new recruits he's brought in. So you need someone to come in that can rally this current roster, because that's the other thing. You can't have half of this team that exists right now, and these young players start using that transfer portal and bailing out on you. That you better have a name that they like and they want to rally around.
Well, let me ask you this, Tommy, because Mike Leach has been at Washington State for a few years, and he was at Texas Tech for a long time too. So he does not like he does about a bunch of job hopping. But why has nobody hired him from Washington State yet? I just out of curiosity, because there's been a lot of good jobs that have been open.
Why do you acquired taste, right?
Well, and that's where I was kind of leading with it. Is it because of his personality? Is it because of the way that he handles himself? Is there maybe something that we don't see? Are we not seeing something? Because I would feel like a guy like him would be a hot commodity to come into their school. So is it just simply his personality and his kind of his weird takes on everything?
Well, I don't know if it's that or, you know, what kind of job are you talking about that he should have been a candidate for or gotten?
Well, I mean, if you look, for instance, the Tennessee job, I think that, you know, a place like Tennessee, he would have been, they could have looked at him. You know, place like Mississippi State when Dan Mullen left, you know, why didn't they go after him? If I'm just using SEC school examples.
Here's what I wonder. In Mike Leach's mind, are those steps up from where he's at now?
Maybe not.
And is Arkansas a step up? Or is that a lateral move? Or maybe a backwards move? What is Mike Leach's perception of the Arkansas job in this situation? Listen, going into the SEC, and you mentioned Tennessee, you mentioned Mississippi State, you mentioned Arkansas. What are three things that – what's one thing those three schools have in common?
I mean, they're all not the big-time schools in their conference?
They all have to play Alabama every year.
Well, yeah, that too.
You know, that's not something every coach wants to sign up for either. Now, some do, some don't. But, you know, all three of those schools, you know you got to deal with Saban every year. And in the West, you know what else you got to deal with. You know, coaches want to win. They want to have a winning record. They want to have a legacy. They want to have, you know, all this resume stuff. Maybe he thinks that's easier at Washington State. I don't know. But, you know, I would just wonder in his head. And he's a smart guy, lawyer by trade, football coach, you know. What's his perception of this job here at Arkansas? Does he think he'd be advancing his career by taking it? Yeah, he's, what, 61 years old? You know, you work your tail off your whole life to build a legacy, to build a resume, to build, you know, what people think of you. And Brett Bielema had done that at Wisconsin and destroyed it in 5 years at Arkansas. Yeah, it's not without risk becoming the head coach here. That's
no,
for sure.
No, it's not. And if you're Mike Leach or somebody like Mike Leach, you're going to have a project in front of you. And, you know, maybe he's at the age where he doesn't want to take over a bad program to try to build it back up. Because some coaches get to that point where, like, I think it was Urban Meyer. I think it was when we met with the Little Rock Touchdown Club this year. One of the things that he said is when it comes to coaching jobs, he was extremely, extremely picky on the jobs that he took, not because of the program itself, but the surrounding programs of that program. You know, he left Florida when Nick Saban started to get it going. And he went to Ohio State when they didn't really have much going on there. I mean, he was very particular about his coaching gigs and where he went. And I'm sure there's a lot of coaches that are like that, too.
Yeah. You know, it takes a lot of energy to do that. Absolutely. I mean, and some guys don't want to do that at that point in life.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.